strikes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more.
Sure would love to change this whole world. Been trying for a number of years and getting a little more traction these days. And part of that traction is spending 2 hours on Sunday evening with you good folks over here at the RBN Republic Broadcasting Network. Call it kind of Radio Ranch RBN version. And Roger Sales, your host. And I've taken, if you hadn't been around for a little bit and you're kind of shocked that Ralph isn't here. Ralph isn't with us any longer, and I got asked to take this spot and accepted, and happy to be here with you, this wonderful audience, really, of super aware people, mostly tax-oriented kind of people. Hate the tax guy. Ralph built up over a number of years, and happy to take the realm and the helm of this little old buggy here, 2 hours with you guys on Sunday evening. Pretty prime spot, and good built-up audience, and we got good information, and I'm always happy to be with you. It's the Memorial Day weekend, obviously, and just seems like just yesterday that Sam had to play a replay because it was Easter, and bam, that has come around pretty quick. Here we are approaching the second 6 months of the year, what appears to be a pretty bumpy time. It's like old, what was it, the guitar player from the 50s, Dwayne Eddy, you remember him? Some of you older folks do. And he had a song called 40 Miles of Bad Road. Some of you remember that. We got 40 miles of bad road up ahead of us, that's for sure, probably more than that. And so that's what we try and do, is connect you with your freedom here. We got, I believe, the easiest, simplest, most duplicatable way to spread the good news that you can get free of these slaving pieces of satanic crap that have been working towards what they got going on right now for thousands of years. Do you realize men have wanted to be alive right now where we are for thousands of years, okay? And so it makes it a little bit special, awful lot of things going on. I always like to take, or at least since I can't say always because I hadn't been here that long, quite frankly, but I like to take this 2 hours and this wonderful audience at pretty educated and see if there's any questions, particularly on our approach to doing this, on separating yourself from the slaving federal government and the slaving international banking crowd. And there's always a lot of questions. It's always you got to get very specific here because they've really zapped us with specificity. I used to say they've set us up with generalities, and then they come in and zap us with specificities. And their weapons are words. The old childhood nursery rhyme we're all familiar with, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can just enslave me. Well, I mean, you might not have been familiar with that one, but that is what's going on here. We've straightened it out, been successful. I know some of you are skeptical. That's all right. You know, listen, you don't have to do it. I've never told anybody to do this, never begged anybody to do this, never will. Because it's not my place to tell you what system of law you're going to live under, which is really what we're talking about here. And it is your choice. Doesn't matter what kind of imposing experiences you've had with these thugs, because they hammer you into the corner and strip your power away by intimidation and fear, really. And so some people can't ever get over that. And if you can't, I'm sorry for you. We'll pray for you, and that's okay. But our message is to those who still have that ember of freedom that burns in your heart. It may be just about all the way smothered out, but, you know, you take a little bit of an ember there and you wave something or blow on it, and you can get that thing up into a fire and a little bit of a flame, and pretty soon you can build it into a fire. And that's what we want to do, is build if that kindle of freedom still in your heart, do maybe something to get it catalyst up again and burning healthy. Because there's a lot of people looking for answers right now. I believe we got them. Tried, proven 11-year track record. So, you know, in the 11 years that I've been had this book out and doing radio programs about it and had my own daily show for many years now on other networks. I refer to them as ex-wives. So I've got a few ex-wives out there. But as long as I've been doing that, I don't have any idea how many people have done this. I mean, I honestly don't. The first time I was on here with Tom D, we had a lady probably listening tonight from up in West Virginia. Oh, yeah, I bought your book. I follow that thing. Okay, I mean, you just never know. But I do know this. If any of those people like that lady in West Virginia, and I don't remember her name, and I'm sorry, had any problems or backlashes or situations in your life that arose, in your opinion, from doing this, changing political status, I guarantee you'd have gotten a hold of me somehow. It's not like I'm inaccessible, you know. I mean, I've got an open radio show that quite a few people join in on and ask questions on and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure somebody's calling, I think, Sam. Somebody would have gotten back to me with a problem. Hey, Roger, look, I got this situation. You got me into this stuff. What do I do? I've never had one of those calls. Never in 11 years. Looks like I got some calls here, though. Sam, but we got somebody calling wanting to yak. All right, Lori in the great state of New Hampshire. Isn't that supposed to be a bunch of freedom-seeking people up there in your state, Lori?
Absolutely, live free or die. And then, although unfortunately that's been really challenged, there are a lot of us that are extremely, very passionate about that motto. And in fact, a few years ago, they were talking about trying to take away part of the motto, so it just said "live free." And it's like, oh no, we're live free or die. So, unfortunately, just like every other state, this state has been moving slowly but surely into, the communist sort of way of being, and especially the part of New Hampshire that I live in. It's extremely, cosmopolitan and very liberal. And I was wrapped up all in that, you know, years ago, had no idea what was going on. But I do have to say, I just wanted to let you know a little bit about who I am. I exited the system in many ways before I found this information to exit it all the way. I've always been rebellious ever since I was 12 years old. I never believed in the system. I always questioned the authority of, you know, these ridiculous school teachers that would treat us like we were slaves, you know, and now I'm realizing that we were. So I exited the system as an adult by homeschooling my son. I exited by the working world by starting my own business. I exited the food system by eating the Paleolithic diet and repairing my health so that I didn't have to rely on the medical system. And when I worked with children in the mental health field, I was able to get them out of that horrible system of being on medication, and I was treating their traumas in a natural way. And so I'm very proud of this track record. But then when I came across your information, it was like, this is the final jump that I need to do. I was just so empowered, like you say, empowered, true empowerment, not this ridiculous empowerment we hear constantly about if you're a victim or you have an emotional disability that you're blaring to the world, you're empowered, but true empowerment, taking your God-given freedoms back. And I just wanted to say one more thing about this, why what you're doing is so crucial and why I think that you are a true hero of humanity. Because if we don't exit the system, especially if we don't do it for our children, we are not guaranteed any amount of time on this earth. You look at your children and you think, oh, they're guaranteed 100 years on this planet. My son, my precious son, died at only 23 years old.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. He died in 2017, and I, every day I'm alive, I thank my lucky stars that I took him out of that horrible school system, because for the few years my son was alive, my son was free. He got to sing his heart out because singing was his passion, and he got to live his dreams. He got to do the things that most kids never get to do, because then when they graduate, unlike Presley, who I heard his interview, when they graduate, then they go right more into deeper and deeper slavery. So if you want true freedom, you've got to get your kids out of that system as well. And so I just really wanted to say this, because you can't say your kids are guaranteed to be here a certain number of years. We never know when those years are up. When they're up, they're up. And what kind of life do you want?
Wow, Lori, that's getting me crying here.
Thank you. And I feel like my son's spirit is pumping through me as I'm saying that. And I believe that it was he who helped me get to your information, because the pathways that my life has been taking, you know, it's only by divine intervention from God and from him. So I called in to thank you, and also to let you know I am ready to dive into this yesterday, but I want to be sure that I am doing everything properly, dotting all my I's and T's. I've listened to your interviews on Nancy Addison, Sarah, Deanna Spingola, and Paul. I'm halfway through that one. And I just have a few questions, and I can ask those, whatever.
Bring them on.
Okay. So one of the questions that I had is, I understand how you said to title the letters to the IRS especially. I guess I have two questions that are really up in the air for me is, given how you said to title everything a specific way, I've written that down. When I send the letter first, the affidavit with the passport, am I applying for a renewed passport even though my passport doesn't expire? Because I would like to do the passport method rather than just the letter. Can I do this even though my passport isn't expiring?
Of course. See, here's the reason. Let me explain the reason I like to use these as teaching moments, okay? The reason technically is because you're applying as a different legal person. You know, we all have a legal personality. You know, they used to represent it with the happy and the frown Greek masks, you know, because you can wear different legal personalities. And this all goes back to this really important basic formula here, R plus D equals R, that runs the world. And that's how you decide what kind of a person you are. And that formula, rights plus duties equals remedies, shows you, let's take the 14th Amendment, for example, all persons born or naturalized. If you didn't understand this basic legal premise and concept, which has been going on since the earliest days of law, by the way, you wouldn't know. You think that word all persons, you think that means everybody, but it doesn't. It means legal persons. And a legal person is someone who receives rights and owes duties. So here's the way that works. All legal persons born or naturalized in the United States and the rest of it, you know, well, those are 14th Amendment people, and that means they receive civil rights via the 14th Amendment, and therefore they owe duties which are to adhere to any of the regulatory dictates of the administrative state, because you're their property. So when you use that word person, you could be a person in common law. That's what you're doing, is you're moving over when you do this and file this, you're moving over to under God's laws, okay?
Yes.
And now constitutional protections. And you see, the reason people say, Roger, why is this important? Okay? And I'll admit it doesn't hit everybody, and I don't know why. It resonates with people, and I think they're God's people, and I think the people are truth seekers, and I think the people that this message resonates with are the remnant. Okay, that's what I've come to conclude over many years. Okay, it's the only answer that makes sense, and all the dust settles when you think about it. See. Okay.
Well, I think everyone's got the Stockholm syndrome. You know, they've all
They're
all Pavlovian catatonic state.
That's exactly. I told that story today on the show I was on earlier today. So anyway, with this, of course, what you're doing is moving over here under God's laws and these constitutional protections that were the basic and the foundation of our country and the way it ran for a while. And see, here's the important part of that. In the entire history of our planet, there's only been two societies that ever had access to God-given laws, see? And that was the first 200 years of Rome. And the first 200 years, approximately, of our country. And so if that's not important to you, then, you know, I just feel sorry for you. What my teacher, John Benson, used to tell us was that the battle we fight today is the battle that we've been fighting since the beginning of time. And that battle is put very simply. It's lex rex versus the common law. So it's God's law versus man's law, okay? Mm-hmm. And they hate God's law because it's been used against them, and they like their merchant law. And so that's what they've done is Edom has tricked you out of the birthright and stolen it back, and we're getting it back. And the reason you say empowered is because as you go through this and learn this information and take these concepts into your subconscious and start realizing you're the boss, you're the one. You know this because you've told us your life story here, and you've been doing it for a long time in every important aspect of your life. So it's not new to you. It's just something that further empowers you because you're already on the empowerment path. Most people aren't. Okay.
Yeah.
And they got to start and learn the information, get the information in there. It's fertile sod. So your re-empowerment starts growing. And I think what's happening is you got this spiritual connection back. See?
Yeah.
And that's what you were supposed to have at birth. And in essence, what they did is threw one of these blankets over it that smothers your connection with God at your birth. And then
it
they
does,
go in
Roger.
And condition you throughout your whole life to be cowered in the corner when you hear federal government, IRS, or any of this other stuff, you know. And we've reversed that, okay? And this is the ability for people to do it. Not everybody's going to do it. That's fine. I don't care, okay? My duty here, Lori, and I thank you for your kind words, okay? I consider my duty here, and I don't charge anybody for this. If anybody insists on hand-holding or you want a personal consultation, I'll give it to you. I'm going to charge you for it, okay? But the reason I get on these shows and take these questions is because I don't want to do that. I want everybody to learn and get the information, okay? And so that's what this is all about. My big feeling here is I'm fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of the watchman on the wall. Are you familiar with that, Lori?
I have heard of that, yes.
Okay, well, it says for the audience, it may not be. You're a watchman on the wall. If you see danger coming and you don't tell your fellow man, the blood's on your hands. But if you tell him and he doesn't listen, the blood's on his hands. And I want the blood on your hands. If you don't want to listen, that's okay, okay? I'm not going to beat you up about it, all right? My job is simply to tell you and let you know and show you, if you're skeptical, that you got a choice that most people didn't know they had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my motives, okay? I got no ulterior motives here. No, I like helping people. I figure it's given to humanity. I don't think it's right to charge people for their freedom, but I do try and encourage you to learn the information. I don't want to see people just throwing paper around because then nothing happens, okay? Because you don't learn the information, because when you do this, for people that are new to this or thinking about it, when you do this, nothing changes. You know, the butcher doesn't, when you go into, he doesn't go, oh, hey, Lori, man, I heard you file that affidavit. Congratulations. You know, that isn't going to happen. All right? The change has got to happen in you. And the only way the change happens in most people is you got to get the information back in there that you didn't know or you were mistaken about. You got to go in and untie these double-minded knots in your mind. As that happens, you start this empowerment process. That's the way it seems to work. Now, Lori, hang with me. Sam wants to pay some bills here or get a paycheck or something. So we'll continue this on the other side.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There you go. Thank you, Sam, for bringing us back. We've got Lori from New Hampshire on. A very nice call and a good discussion here. She had a couple of questions, and I was expanding on why I think this is important that you put this out there for free, okay? And there's people that charge and have charged for this most of the whole time I've been doing it, you know? And so here's the problem with that to me, is if you go pay somebody, and most of them charge, you know, well, more than some people can afford, put it that way. They, whatever they charge, when you've paid somebody that kind of an amount of money, you're not going to go necessarily do all the studying because you kind of, in your mind, paid somebody to do this for you. Okay? It's like mowing your lawn. If you pay somebody to mow your lawn, you're not going to get out there and sweat over mowing the lawn after they're gone, you know? You're going to be up on the porch drinking a mint julep in the rocking chair. All right? So that is, then you apply the concept that we know that nothing changes when you do this. So if you're not learning and you don't do any further anything thinking it's all taken care of because you paid somebody, then nothing changes at all because you don't change. The change has got to be in us, and the affected change in us has got to be because we absorb this information and we start out a new life under these new set of rules that we didn't have access to before, and we now do. And we need the education and the information to be able to stand up and be able to stand on that position and reinforce that and rebut any attempts to take, as Patrick Henry said, that jewel away from us. Okay? And so that's the reason and import for the fact that you're not charging people is I want people to get off their butts and do a little bit of work, quite frankly. Okay? And so, I mean, look, you got over 100 years of three men's lives in what I'm sitting in front of you right now. Okay? So there are a couple of things, Lori, to address your question specifically, and there's reasons for all this. I tell people this is a process and not an event. The event is when the information crossed your path. Everything else is going to happen. Probably the rest of your life is the process. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually, the questions that I have about that was just one piece of it, was just making sure that I could do that. But my actual question about starting this, I can actually state the three questions, and then just so you know what they are. The first one was, do I sign this passport in front of the postmaster? Is there anything I need to do when I'm doing this affidavit with the post, with the passport application, to prevent myself from being, I guess you'd call it, deported or declared stateless?
No, ma'am.
And then the third, IRS, if they demand that fine for me when I do the affidavit correctly, what do I say to them? They say,
all right,
fork over that $5,000.
Just give me the funds, and we're going to put the lien on you.
Let's address
your first part. You have a passport. Is it open or is it expired?
I have an open one that I got in 2016.
Okay. Well, then it's still good. They're going to ask you to send that in. You use a DS-82, and you won't have to sign in front of a administrating official, because you only do that with the first time around on a DS-11. That shows you how important that is to them. And do you know of any other government agency or government form where they want you to absolutely sign in front of an administrating official? And if there's not one there, they want you to go in front of a judge. You got to go find a judge and get in front of him and sign it. Any other form like that?
No,
Why not? Why do you think not?
Because I think that they need you to keep up the charade. They need you to say you're a citizen.
This is the one point that the one guy that's got all this authority has got to put the information in front of you. And because of a piece of legislation called the Paperwork Reduction Act after Watergate, they've got to send that form, is what's classified as a public information gathering request, because anybody in the public can use it. Okay, and because it has that unique classification and category, it has to be sent through the Office of Management and Budget and meet a very, very strict constitutional checklist. And that's why they've had to put all this stuff in there. They don't want to put in there that you can attach an affidavit. That's why they couched it in the warning: you can attach documentation, including affidavits, but they never tell you what for. They just tell you if you lie, they're going to, you know, put you in so deep they're going to have to pump daylight to you. Okay? So there's the intimidation again, see? And they tell you on the first page of the instructions, and the question is on the oath on the fourth page. There's no question telling you, although they've changed the oath since I started teaching this stuff. Now on the newer passports, and they did this a few years back, there is four little boxes under the oath, and the last one checked is, I have read and understand the warning box on page so-and-so of the instructions. They covered their ass legally right there, what they did. Okay, so that's the reason for all that, and it's because they got to show you and put you in front of you to make their scheme continuing to be constitutional. Even though it's based on fraud, it's met constitutional muster. Okay, so that's the reason for that. Your second one was, you don't have to even be an affidavit. It can be simply a declaration. Okay, but it's best to be an affidavit form, I suggest. Now, also, Lori, we've kind of changed tactics a little bit. If you have not filed one of these yet, we're suggesting that people do what's called a cold or a naked affidavit. And on that very sexist ending here, I'm going to hold you over the break, and we're going to talk about naked affidavits when we get back, okay? How's that for tip later?
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we're going to come back here to the meat of the issue right on the other side before Sam so rudely interrupted us. We're getting all hot and bothered talking about naked affidavits and stuff, and getting all sexist on the program here. This is a process, Lori, and you know, we've just started doing this back end, this notice part, weaponizing your new position and status is kind of how I think of it and refer to it as, in the last couple of years, and it continues to get refined, okay? And this is one of those examples where before I would say just go ahead and do an affidavit and file it with a passport application. But an incident happened with a guy in California, and it made me look at this a little closer, and it made me rethink it and think that this is a little more advantageous, okay? So kind of what we're suggesting now is that people first just file what I called a naked or cold affidavit. And that's just your affidavit with a simple cover letter to the Secretary of State there at the main address in Washington, D.C., Avenue C or something. And you put attention Administrative Records Department and send it certified return receipt requested. Now, when they get that, actually, I think it's considered active when it hits the mail. Okay. But like the IRS does to us, well, we just do it to them. Okay, and so everything's a dialectic here. You can flip everything, see? And so we'll just consider that when it gets in the mail, or you can be a little more cautious and wait, check online and see when it's signed for, or you can even be more cautious and wait till you get your little green card back. By the way, several people, I mean at least 5 people lately, have been getting their return receipt back with a couple of stamps on it, And one of the stamps says ambassadorial mailbag.
Ooh.
That's happened a number of times, okay? I don't know, promise you it's going to happen, but it's happened to a number of people here recently. So that's kind of a good endorsement, wouldn't you say? So
Yeah. You
just ask them very simply, please find my citizenship evidence. I always think it's important to refer to it as that because that's how they refer to it internally, citizenship evidence. And please place this firmly and permanently in my administrative file. Please adjust your actions and your agent's actions accordingly. That's something that simple. Doesn't have to be, you know, hugs, mm-hmm. hugs and kisses, Lori. And so now once they've gotten that, it'll take them, no doubt, a little bit to get through the bureaucracy to get to the filing place. But, see, the reason is they can't say no because this is your decision, not theirs. If they say no, they're open tyrants. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
So they got to accept it. Now your position's cleared, all right? And the example and the reason this came up, I had this Brit who was naturalized in 2000 out in California. He got his passport application rejected, and he had an open passport like you, and they revoked his open passport, okay? And so I get this message from this guy, they rejected my passport application. Well, I don't ever get those kind of calls, okay? Never. It's the only one like that ever. And so I start, well, okay, we're starting to talk, and I can't get anything straight out of him, you know. And he said, I'll send you the letter. So he sent me the letter. And so in that letter, they quoted two sections of 27 Code of Federal Regulations on why they could – they searched on the nationwide database, and they found two felony charges against him because he'd been pulled over for drunk driving, and he wouldn't get out of the car, and the San Jose sheriffs ended up breaking the wind out and yanking his butt out and throwing him in jail, and because he had some kind of magic voodoo stuff and got out of jail, he thought the charges were dropped. So he's never done anything about it, and they've never pursued him. But they're open felony charges, okay? And they picked that up, and they revoked his current open passport for being a flight risk, which you can understand. Okay, it's not hard to understand it. Okay, and they rejected and they kept his money. So what makes this different is if you submit that cold affidavit first, then you're not a resident. And no
so
code sections.
First before you send the passport application,
correct.
You mean?
Correct, correct.
Oh.
And here's why. Because then you're free of your residency and all of the codes of federal regulations, with the exception of Title 26, are written for residents. So now they can't use that code section against you. And even though they may try, at least you've got some kind of a legal basis to approach an administrative appeal path, see? So that made me rethink this whole thing. And then the advantage is we get to hit them with double amounts of paper, see?
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to go, damn, here's another one of those citizenship evidence things. They're driving us crazy.
So if I did that and then I want to do the passport separately,
affidavit? No. You're going to copy that one. This is your statement.
So just
you don't
send
have
in
to.
The copy of that one.
Yeah, you mean send a copy of it to everybody? You send one to your buddies over at IRS, you know. Except over there with those guys, you want to put at the top because there's again a method for the madness and a reason.
Not to be construed as a filing. Yeah.
Not to be construed as a filing, and the reason for that is the only knee-jerk reaction they've got when you show them this is to try and did it one time only come at this guy with a $5,000 frivolous filing penalty. And so now in the letter showing them that it's legal lawful notice, and that's what you put at the top, and then you say not to be considered a filing, now their one knee-jerk reaction deal's gone.
Yeah.
And there's never been another one. They've never done that. They haven't. They've never. I tell them to go pound sand.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, see, here's their problem. They don't want to come and do that because you may fight back, and now you got a forum, and you got a possibility of bringing all this information out. Hell, look at the trouble they've gone to hide it.
Yeah.
See, that's what we've got hanging over their head, and that's their big fear. Listen, that's why I can get on here. I can, you know, the real ugly word that rhymes with bike.
Yep.
I can get on here and bike them to death, and they'll never, I'll beg them, please, you sorry slaving pieces of human garbage, I hate you with a purple passion. Please put me on your hate list. Please, number one. I want to be number one. I don't want to be Avis. Hell, you won't even put me on there right now. This is like kryptonite to super pharisite, because it exposes everything they're doing, and they can't handle it. They got no rebut. They got no they can't do anything, and all they do is stand mute. And silence deems consent. And now, in essence, when you really look at it, they've convicted themselves all this stuff by having to stand mute. You don't think this is powerful? I'm going to tell you, you're wrong, okay?
Yeah.
So, and so then the IRS was the last one, and what you're doing is telling them, you know, here's their jurisdictional statement. At the front of that Title 26 Code of Federal Regulations, that's their rule book. On the very first page at the top right, for those of you who don't believe me, it's too bad Ralph didn't know this, okay, and understand it, okay, up at the top right is their jurisdictional statement, and it's 26 Code of Federal Regulations 1.1-1 parentheses small a. That's pretty close to the front of the book, okay? An income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents, and to the extent of 871B and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. Well, when you file one of these, you become non-resident to the residency of the 14th Amendment, and because you're the original old state citizen, now labeled a national, your status is alien from the federal status now, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, you want to see who you're playing with here? You spend some time noodling on that right there, what I just showed you, if you're new to this. Okay. And if you think you can, like Ralph did, unfortunately, read these words and understand what these bastards are doing, they're already 10 steps ahead of you and gone with the loot. Okay? That's why I say I respect what Ralph did. And he took a lot of you that are already in trouble with him because of this little slick little system they got, little Satan slave system here, okay? But and once you get in it, it's like a guy... One big tax guy, I can't remember his name, from Oklahoma, and he said, it's like, Roger, it's like a big tidal wave of molasses. It moves real slow, but buddy, once you get in it, you can't get out, and I swear to God, he's absolutely correct, okay? You can't win dancing with these guys. You got to do a preemptive strike, and that's what we're talking about doing right here. You change your status with the head guy, then you go in and weaponize your position and act like Lori the porcupine.
I like that.
So what else can we answer for you? I've been talking to you. There's somebody else here. Sam, is there the other person still there? Did they leave? Okay, I'll get to y'all in a second. I'm sorry. Lori's just particularly charming, and these subjects are very near to me, and I want to use these moments here as teaching moments for everybody, okay? So, Lori, listen, you're charming. I enjoy meeting you. Let me see about not letting these other people, I don't want them to think I'm rude or anything, you know?
Sure, no problem.
And really nice to meet you, and come join us on the Daily Show there on the Jitsi board, okay?
Definitely.
All
right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, nice to meet you. Mucho gusto, as we say down here. Sam, who's up next? Oh, two of these lionesses, right, straight in a row. I'm just so thrilled. Hi, Linda. Now, Linda, where's what state again?
Hi, New Hampshire.
Another one, back to back?
Yes.
Are y'all ganging up on me or what?
I guess New Hampshire likes to be free.
I guess. Oh, well, so what can I do you for this evening?
Yes, well, I've been listening to you since I heard you on Sarah Westall. And,
oh, good.
Then I heard you on Nancy Lisa, Deanna Spingoli, and I heard the interview with Presley.
Yes.
And so I also ordered your book. I haven't got it yet.
It's a very powerful book.
Yes, and I've been, it's like you said, I keep listening to these interviews, and I'm understanding it more every time I listen.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that I'm doing everything right when I do the passport and everything, because I know how Presley said that there were some people that, I don't know, they said something wrong or checked something wrong. They ended up having to leave the country.
Well, I don't remember that story, but I can tell you where people have had problems is when people are so excited with this, when they see they have an opportunity to remove themselves from this crap. And so they get a little beside themselves, Linda, honestly, at times. And they do stuff like where they see non-citizen national there in the oath, and they circle it because there's no place they can check. They don't ask you outright, are you a national? So I guess they're figuring that I'm going to let them know this is what I'm doing. Well, you know, then they got this rule about defacing government forms. And so you need to not do that, okay? That is so tricky. That's why I want people to study this a little bit and think about it. And I applaud you and Lori on telling me all these other interviews you've listened to. Obviously, you're approaching it from a studious angle. You want to learn. You want to understand. You want to have your arms around this firmly. And I applaud you, okay? Rather than rushing in half-baked like a bull in a china cabinet wanting to throw a piece of paper at somebody, okay?
Yeah.
So I appreciate all that. All right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's not very many things you can do wrong. I understand people's apprehension about dealing with these monsters, okay? And you're just waking up, you're a new freedom kind of person, you're just getting your sea legs, so to speak, you know, and you're apprehensive because you're always apprehensive about dealing with these thugs, you know? And so I understand that totally. Everybody does, all right? And this is the re-empowerment process, too, and this is how it'll work on you, Linda. And so there's not anything you can really do wrong except lie. And that's something you do not want to do. You don't want to deface the form, and you don't want to lie to them, either one, all right?
What does that mean by deface, crossing something out on the form?
Doing it, even, I guess, putting a jot or a tittle in the margin. Hell, I don't know. You know, but my advice is outside of signing it where you got to, that you don't alter it. You fill in the little checks and their allotted little space. If they ask you, and they do a couple of times, ask you if you want to do something, put an explanatory statement. And so one of them is this affidavit, and you're including that in with it. You don't want to put, you know, I mean, you might want to, but I wouldn't suggest you do it. Right. Exhibit A. In big red letters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that. You might want to put, now here's a way around that, see? You may want to put a sticky note on there and put citizenship affidavit attached exhibit A and put the sticky note on your application. Now, see, there's a little sneaky way around it, all right? But I've just always attached it to everybody else I know, too, just put it in the package, and it's considered received again. So that's all it is. It's your decision as to whose sets of laws you want to live under. You know, if you wanted to expatriate and go to Canada, you could do that. Now, by the way, and I don't remember if it's you or Lori. I think it may have been you. We're not expatriating here. We're repatriating. Okay?
Yeah.
We're still citizens, and we still got even a superior status, and they can't penalize you for switching over to one they've been hiding. See, and that's what people say. What if they come after me? They're not going to come after you because they don't want to bring these issues up. They've gone to great lengths to hide these things to fool everybody. I mean, these guys are so damn slick. Do you know who has got which agency of the government? Now, keep in mind, Linda, there's over 500 federal agencies up there now, okay? Yeah. Which agency do you think has the jurisdiction over American Samoa, who they've used to try and hide all of this stuff? I mean, I know it's a rhetorical question. I know you don't know. So I'm going to answer it for you.
Yeah.
The Department of the Interior.
And I've heard that, but I don't know what that means, the Department of the Interior.
Yeah, it means it's the agency that when you hear the title, you think that they're dealing with the United States. And here they're the ones that have got all the authority over American Samoa halfway around the world. See, everything they got set up is opposites.
Yeah.
The word national, the reason they use that is because originally it was a state citizen, and if you were a state citizen, you were by default a national citizen. the United States of America. So that using the word national is nothing more than it's always been there. They've just never labeled it that way before.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did? I called up the post office. My town is so little that they didn't even have passports there.
Applications.
Yeah, really, so they told me two other towns to go to, but I went online and printed it out. And
right.
So when I called, they didn't even say, oh, you can come get an application. They said, oh, you've got to make an appointment because you're going to have to sign something. And I said, well, can't I just have an application first? And he had to ask, and they said, yeah, you can come in and get one. But I managed to print it out online. But I'm looking at the page one here, and then it's right in the middle, stop, continue to page two. But they're asking you all kinds of things, identifying documents. I mean, do I ever check stuff when I go there? Or
Hold on, let's see. Well, let's make sure we're talking about the right form. It sounds like you've got a DS-82 and not a DS-11. There's two... probably at the bottom. So.
It says DS-11.
Yeah, well, then it's new. I don't know about the questions on a DS-11. Here's the differentiation, okay? Let me reverse the question. Linda, do you have a passport or have you had one in the past?
No, that's why I need
okay. That's why you need an 11, okay? For the audience that may not know, if you've never had a passport, or I believe if you got one that's expired, that's over 15 or 20 years, I don't remember which, you got to go back at number one, start at square one again at this DS-11, and that means you got to sign it in front of an administrating official, or if in your situation, your little town probably doesn't have an administrating officer there at the post office. If they don't, their instructions are you got to go look up a local judge and sign it. It's in the instructions if you read it.
The next towns over have it, so... That's within,
yeah. 10 minutes. So all you want to do, and the only questions, they're going to ask you where you live and all that kind of stuff, and they're going to ask you, the only one that I consider a trick question on there, and it must not be too tricky to them because they're not backlashing anybody that answered it the other way, all right, is they ask you what your parents were, if your parents were citizens of the United States, okay? They don't ask you. So if you're out there, don't send... I get people sending me these emails. Well, I just read this whole thing. There's no place I can check to say I'm a national. Well, no kidding, Charlie. They've gone to all these links to hide it, and our people think they're going to give you a check option there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Where is it? But it does say U.S. citizen for my mother and father, so...
Yes. Well, see,
so
that's what I... Well, they were. I'm sure they were. Here's what I'm thinking's going on there, okay? In the feudal system, which is the reason they've got to tell you you can volunteer out in this very same document, the condition was if your parents were in the condition and you were born into the same condition. And I think they need that probably that information anyway, but if you say, yes, they were citizens, then there's the presumption again, okay? And then there's the presumption throughout this document. And they lead you down this little path of these little mysteries where they're hiding these things so that they can get you to sign and not submit an affidavit knowing that there's a way out. Okay? And I think that's part of the setup. Now, the reason I say that, there's an outfit out there called Copper Moonshine still. They got a presence on the web. They've been helping people do this. They use a different approach. I don't really know what it is. I don't go study other people's approaches, honestly. I try and concentrate on my own. And they instruct people to say no. Okay. Now I know that these State Department people take this passport thing and passport fraud very seriously. And I can't believe that they haven't backlashed on them having people submit applications basically lying on that question. Okay.
Yeah.
But it may be, again, like I was talking with Lori, they don't want to even bring that up and bring this issue and this contention to the forefront. You know, they've got another way people are trying to mess with them right now, and that is the American Samoans, who they've used to have, they use them so they can put them, I believe, in that oath in that oath of the document we're talking about and identify them as non-citizen nationals. That's only American Samoans and people on a little island that looks like Gilligan should be on the shore, called Swains Island, okay? It's a beautiful spot, all right? Those are the only two people that aren't 14th Amendment citizens at birth. Everyone else born in the United States throughout all the territories are automatically presumed to be 14th Amendment, and they're not. And they can't, therefore, get a lot of goodies, and it puts some restrictions on them. They can go naturalize and become 14th Amendment citizens, but that's quite a process for them, and they kind of resent it because they think they're already born in the system anyway and should be entitled on it. And see, they don't understand they're being used to hide this whole scam, all right?
Yeah.
And so there's been two court cases, and they won't hear them. One of them got to the Supreme Court, and they wouldn't grant certiorari on it. And the other one, just within the last couple of years, this was interesting. It came out of Salt Lake City. Evidently, the Mormons have done, our Mormon brethren, have done a real good job down there in American Samoa. And there's a lot of American Samoans that live up there in Utah. And they have restrictions on them. They can only go so high in their employment and civil service, and they can't be officers in the military, and they have a representative in Congress, but they can't vote. And they want some of those overturned, and so they tried a lawsuit, and the district court in Salt Lake City ruled in their favor. That within 24 hours, there were two of these things called amicus curiae briefs, called friend of the court briefs, and two briefs were filed against that decision, one by the federal government and the other by American Samoa, and then it got overturned at the 10th Circuit in Denver. They will not let this get heard, because if they went to rule on it, it exposes their whole scam here, see?
Yeah. It's like... the form I'm looking at, you're not recognizing that it looks like this.
So all you got to do, just fill it out. Be honest with them.
I'm not sure what to do. In the middle of the first page, it says in blue, stop, continue page two. But it,
all right.
And then underneath the stop, don't sign until requested.
Oh, yeah.
It says
they don't want
identifying
you to do that.
Documents. Applicant, mother, father, parent, legal.
Well, they may be
state and all that.
They may be requiring you to have some documentation. When I've done this, all they wanted the first time was they wanted a picture ID, okay, and they wanted a birth certificate. And I had my 5-page affidavit there, and I didn't have, I had a driver's license from Tennessee, but I knew that was like prima facie evidence of residency, and here I am trying to tell them I'm not a resident. So there's a clause, in the instructions, it says if you don't have a picture ID, that Sam will play some commercial music, and you'll have to get rudely interrupted again. So hang there, Linda, we'll be back, and I'm going to tell you the story. On the other side, we'll be right back, folks.
Okay.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.